Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the best of The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Catch them weekdays for the all-new Hyundai Kona.
Welcome to the best of The Run Home with Joel and Fletch. The missile in the chair, and of course, big story around the missile, preparing for a big event next year, we think. So we caught up about the missile and his training.
We're living the dream at the moment, Joel. I'm swimming, I'm lifting, I'm recovering, I'm ice bathing, I'm saunering. All the stuff I used to take for granted, I'm doing it again.
Are you a full-time athlete again?
Bloody loving it.
Yeah.
I was texting my mate the other night. So I've got one of my mates who's a strength and conditioning coach. He actually went to uni and did the exercise physiology part. So he's doing my S&C stuff. Was speaking, I won't name the coach, but I've been speaking with a coach over in America who may or may not have coached world record 50 freestylers in the past. And he's been sending me some sessions for pool work and stuff. And I text my mate the other night. Because this week I've properly sent it. Like, I've gone hard this week.
So can I just ask you this before you go on?
Yeah.
Is there a timeline on what you need to do, or not necessarily?
Probably about, say, August, September next year, I'd say, tentatively.
But would it be you doing it by yourself, or is there a whole games thing around?
There's some announcements to come over the next week or so.
Right.
And there'll be some announcements off the back of the Olympics, kind of springboard off that.
Yep.
See if any athletes want to come straight out of Olympics into this new opportunity.
So basically they're doing what I did at Centennial Park years ago. I'm a bad cyclist.
Mm.
And Lee Murphy, who's a champion, I just sat behind him and slipstreamed.
So yeah, that's what's going to happen. Right. A little bit of guerrilla marketing.
Yeah, okay.
So I've got a while. But I text my mate the other night. I've been properly sending it this week, going pretty hard. And I think it was Tuesday night. I was lying in bed. My whole body was aching. And I had the biggest smile on my face. And I text my mate and I said, mate, my body is wrecked. And I bloody love it.
Oh.
Just the feeling again of being committed to something. And all I'm dreaming about, I'm dreaming every night about swimming. All I'm thinking, and now I'm starting to make decisions. You know, we've got a birthday coming up this weekend, and I'm not a big drinker anyway, but when I do drink, I go big.
Yep.
So I won't drink often, but if I do, you know, I have a crack. And I was thinking about the other night, and I was like, oh, is that going to help me be the fastest man in history? No, all right, I'm not drinking. And I was like, that mindset again of what's going to make me fastest man in history, the best. Being an athlete is such a privilege.
Yes.
And you take it for granted a little bit at the time, which is where I'm in this really nice position where I've got the retrospect of I've been an athlete. I know what it's like to live in a normal life. And now I get like a little taste of it again. And it's so much sweeter the second time around.
Okay. So you say that, and this is a really good, if you're a rugby league player and you're listening to this, in the Fair Dinkum Stakes, the culture of rugby league, and clearly with the AFL, which has blown up, and I'll get your opinion on that a little bit later on.
Mm.
Do you think that traditionally, historically, and I'll just say rugby league, leave AFL out of it, we haven't been as professional as what maybe you need to be? Because just hearing you say that, you're a retired athlete who's now come back.
Yeah.
And you're saying about the privilege you have of being an athlete and how good it feels to commit to something, and that is it beyond realms for fans to expect that their players don't drink at all throughout a season?
Not at all. And we'll get there. We'll get there. AFL's probably progressed a little further than NRL. I remember the first time my girlfriend sat down and watched a full game of NRL with me. they went to the sheds after the game. And, you know, they're singing the team song, they're spraying beers and they're sculling beers. And she was like, do they play next weekend? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. She's like, what? They're drinking this week and they're going to play next week. I said, yeah. And if you speak to any sports scientist, what's the worst possible thing you can do for recovery? Alcohol.
For increases
inflammation, decreases recovery time, gives you a worse sleep after the game. And there's a culture in rugby league and a trade-off, right, where we say, well, we'd rather celebrate the wins, have our players be bonded, not make them live these abnormal lives and sort of, I guess, help them assimilate a bit in with society, that they're not sacrificing everything to be rugby league players. But we will get to a point, because we're slowly picking up all the one percenters in rugby league now. We will get to a point where you won't drink all season, because it's literally the worst thing for your body mid-season. Mm. Particularly if you've got any niggling injuries or anything and you need your teammate to hold your hair back or you vomit in a toilet at a Newcastle pub, that is the worst possible thing. And if you're being paid $1 million, it doesn't matter about making a couple of little sacrifices like drinking on the weekend.
Yep.
We'll get there, though. We'll get there. Rugby league is getting a lot better. The ones I find probably the most surprising at the moment, and again, it's a trade-off. You play Origin on a Wednesday night, hammer the beers. You see them. We joke about the players the next morning coming out. They don't look like they've slept, and they'll play on the Friday.
Yep.
The risk of injury for those players on that Friday after having an all-nighter on the Wednesday is off the charts. Now, I appreciate a bender as much as the next bloke, but I'm not on a $1 million.
Yeah.
And I'm not backing up a couple of days later. Nor would I have ever done that during my swimming career.
Yep.
Well, it wasn't even a conversation. My coach would sit down and be like, Olympics in 9 months' time. And he wouldn't even ask the question. I'd be like, yep, sweet, off the piss, nine months.
Let's go.
I don't need nights out. I've got an Olympic. I get to represent my country in Olympic Games. What a privilege. What an honor. I'm not on $1 million for my club, but I'll sacrifice whatever I have to for the next 9 months, 12 months if need be, but usually something like sort of 6 to 9 months.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't throw stones, because we did have plenty while we were playing. But if I was a coach of a National Rugby League team, I would actually replay this very clip coming from somebody like yourself, not me, but yourself, who's achieved great heights, and say, hey, boys, just take 10 minutes out of your day to listen to this particular chat. And then when we leave, you guys are professionals. You've been paid like elite professionals. Some of you guys, as you say, towards seven figures. And then when you leave this chat, make your own mind up.
Yeah, up to you. You know, a really common thing that we see happen around an Olympic Games or a World Champs or someone's first big competition, and this probably isn't as relevant in a team sport, but swimmers get close to a big event. And they may be the favorite for said event, or this might be their first time representing Australia, but a big event's coming up. They've had this really great preparation. They haven't drunk. They've eaten perfectly. And as they get closer, they start reaching for the dessert bar. They start having a night out here or there and going quite heavy on the drink.
What's that?
What's happening? Because it's an innate human trait to want to give yourself a way out. Because if I get there on the blocks on race day,
with a perfect prep,
and I've had the perfect preparation, at the end of that race, I know if I'm good enough or not.
Yep.
If I get to the world champs and I'm the favorite to win, and I do everything perfectly and touch the wall and I'm not first, then I know I'm not good enough. Or this year I wasn't good enough. And people so often self-sabotage. And I've got a lot of mates that play reserve grade rugby league or first grade rugby league now, and I talk to them about that, and they say that's super common. Come end of the year, some players just start to give themselves an excuse. And it's really interesting, and it's really not a poor reflection on them, but a problem that needs to be addressed through a sports psychologist or coaches or mentors or someone to say, hey, it's all right if you give it everything and you come up short. Only one or two people can be the best in the world at their given trade. But if you're putting in close to your best on game day for your team, then we're going to have the best opportunity of winning. But that's another really popular one I see a across all, well, I've heard about in rugby league, but I've seen it firsthand in swimming. Get to the Olympic Village, all of a sudden this athlete that's been preparing so well, you look over and they're smashing donuts and Diet Cokes in the food hall.
Yep.
You just go, what is happening? But it's actually, yeah, it's more of a mental hurdle they're trying to get over of giving themselves a way out.
So just on that, and I totally agree with everything you've said because I've seen it firsthand, and the amount of money, like if you went back to that West Tigers first ever side and went through all the money that was poured into that team, right? And I can only speak with what I've been involved in, but it just doesn't stick, a lot of that money. And the reason being is that most rugby league people, or a lot of rugby league people, like myself and others, we've come from very scrappy upbringings, you know, where we've got to fight for everything. Yeah. We're used to doing it tough. We're not uncomfortable with life being hard.
Yeah.
And many, many first graders right now would resonate with the similar upbringing that I had and others had.
Mm.
And you're very comfortable being uncomfortable with things. And when all this money floods into your life, you find a way to self-sabotage.
Mm.
There's this inbuilt thermostat that goes, oh, you're it's traveling too well here. Yeah. Let's find a way to stuff it up. And that actually happens so often. There's a movie called, or a documentary called Losers. Oh, sorry, not Losers. I'll get it. The listeners will know, they'll text through. But it talks about, you know, 78% of NFL players within 2 years of retirement are either divorced or bankrupt, despite the money they earn. So for me, there's all these player managers who hammer around. You go to the junior carnivals and they're waiting on every kid to turn 15 and they pounce. And for me, it's not about who gets the biggest contract, because it's really, that's immaterial.
Mm.
What it's really about is, I would love for a player manager to go, look, and this, if I was a player manager, this is how I'd approach it. Look, I'd love to take care of your young boy or girl, whatever the name is. Yes, I'll do my best to get their best contract, but here's some examples of the players that I've had in my care. This guy's set himself up for life. This guy's... So it's really about not what you get them, but how much they keep after it.
Yeah.
That's the biggest question. Who cares what you get them?
Yeah.
If you get them shite loads and they lose it all, it's irrelevant. So that's what it's really about. Anyway, 1300 01 1170. We're off and racing. Waratahs coach Darren Coleman. We need to say hello to the team. Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. We're broadcasting from Allianz Stadium ahead of the Panthers and the Roosters, but a big home ground is the Waratahs. So we caught up with Darren Coleman, the coach. The Run Home with Joel and Fletch is joined by the Waratahs coach, DC Darren Coleman. G'day, Darren.
Hello, boys. How are we?
We're just struggling on this line, are we, Brooksy? Try. Okay, we'll get you back.
Bloody Allianz Wi-Fi.
Yeah, Allianz Wi-Fi.
Roosters have skimped on the Wi-Fi.
I think he's on protest. Unless I say the smartest man in rugby, I'll have another crack at that.
Does Darren know that Fletch isn't here today because he was actually taking Max Jorgensen out for lunch in the hope of luring to the Roosters? Apparently, it's fallen through, so Fletch's dummy spit hasn't turned up.
Okay. 1300 01 1170 is the way to have your say. Yes, Darren, you can call that number as well if you wish to be a part of the program, or text 0457 736 736. Miss, you wouldn't believe this. Joining us is the smartest man in rugby, the coach of the New South Wales Waratahs, DC Darren Coleman. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, boys. How you going? Can you hear me all right now?
Got you loud and clear this time around. All right, DC. Very mate, geez, good, you've been unlucky. So the last month, listen to this, missile. Booming win against the Crusaders. They cruised by them.
Mm.
And then the last 3 weeks, they played the Highlanders, the Blues, Drua, and have lost all three by a cumulative score of 7. 7 points, DC. It's been a tough few weeks, but the team seems to be going well.
Yeah, mate, it is. It's been a struggle. I think we must have... I'll come home to kick my dog after a few of those games. I must have kicked the black cat instead. But, it's been tough on the team. The boys are ripping. They've been ripping in, and yeah, a couple of those games we could have won. There's maybe the middle one there. We probably weren't the better team, but it's tough going. But we're back on tomorrow night, and the boys have bounced in with some good energy this week, and we just want to get. I'm just desperate for those boys to get to sing the song and have a win.
Darren, our boy here, Fletch, was pretty confident that young Max Jorgensen was going to come across to the Sydney Roosters. He hasn't. He hasn't taken Fletcher's advice, and he stayed with rugby. Are you happy to lock up Max Jorgensen?
Must have been one that slipped out from under the sombrero there, eh? tough going. No, yeah, we're stoked to keep Maxi, mate. Well, obviously, rugby's had its share of bad news and negative press over the last, whatever it is, 12 months. So to keep one of our best kids, it's a good step in the right direction, and good for our organisation. The Tars will be the main beneficiary of that, and our job from now is to turn him into a wallaby and into a fully fledged one. So great for the sport, good for Max. He's a ripper of a kid, and yeah, good all around for us.
You're hosting the Rebels. This is a massive game for yourself, DC, the team. 7:35 p.m. tomorrow night. It's going to be a huge game here at Allianz Stadium. What's the assignment for you here with the Rebels? No assignment. Oh. There's no comment. No assignment.
Yeah, no, so easy.
He's been
easy
with the coaching money. Whisperer. Don't mention the opposition. No, we're having a few troubles with the line there. That's fine. But they are, can you believe that? So they lost by 2 points to Highlanders, two points to the Blues, and then 3 points to Drua. That's just cruel, 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 isn't it?
Where are we sitting now with rugby at the moment? Are the Australian teams back in the hunt against the Kiwi teams? I mean, obviously, Waratahs beating Crusaders. I know Crusaders are struggling to start the season, but the New Zealand team's still the ones to beat. Darren, you're back.
Yeah, sorry, boys. I don't know what's going on. The bloody internet, you can't trust it, can you?
No, you're right, mate. I was just asking, I was talking to Joel, and you can probably be in a better position to answer this one. The New Zealand teams, they still the ones to beat. Where are the Australian teams kind of settling in the ladder this year?
Yeah, mate, I'd like... Yeah, they are. There's no doubt that. They're strong and they're deep. But we've definitely made inroads. There's been a few good wins over them. You'd probably say at the moment on results, the Reds and the Brumbies are our two better-performed Aussie teams. They go head-to-head this weekend as well. But, yeah, they've all been in the hunt. So I'd like to think, we're closing the gap, and I'd like to think that that all bodes well for the Wallabies, being able to pull a good crew together out of all of us and give them a crack.
Hey, DC, it says quarterfinals. So is it top eight? Is that how that plays out?
Yeah, mate. So, funnily enough, we're in the exact same position we were this time last year. We were 1-4, and we then went on a 4-5-game winning streak, which sort of got our season back on track. And, yeah, how our system works is 1v8, 2v7, through the order there, and the top four get home games, and traditionally no one's won it from outside the top four. It's pretty much means you got to go away for the quarterfinal, semi-final and the GF, so it is hard going from fifth to eighth. But yeah, no, that's how the top eight works with us.
You've got a big opportunity the next few weeks though, because you've got the Rebels, who they're currently inside the eight. If you pinch points off them, 4 point swing. Same applies to the Brumbies, who are currently in third. And then you've got the Crusaders, who you cruise by, and they're winless for this year. So it's, I know as a coach you probably think we don't look too far ahead, but have you looked at this as a block, DC, for the group and said, boys, we can really, we're only a third through the season, we could change plenty of things about this season in the next few weeks?
Yeah, 100%, mate. And as I said, we're in the exact same boat last year, and we went on five on the bounce. So first job's Melbourne. We have a win there. Obviously, I look at the ladder. I ask the boys not to. But a win there, and we're up into six straight away. It's tight going at the moment. We've been picking up. The beauty of the union is you get a losing bonus points with you in seven. So although we didn't get the chockies the last 3 weeks, we've accumulated 3 points that way, and that's almost a win. So we've got to get through Melbourne. They're strong, they're powerful. It's going to be a hard game. They've been a bit inconsistent, but when they're on, they're on. And then we've got the derby against the Brumbies, which is always a good encounter. But, yeah, no, we definitely haven't thrown in the towel yet. We're excited. We just need a little bit of luck. Keep working hard like we are, and just maybe get a little bit of luck at the end.
Darren, I was watching the Wallabies doco on Stan the other day about the World Cup. And one of the things that Eddie Jones was... well, to put it frankly, sooking about on that doco, was that the domestic teams weren't all pulling in the same direction and helping build towards a successful Wallabies side. Has Joe Schmidt, since he's come in, sat all the Super Rugby sides down and spoken about the pathways for the Wallabies and getting the best results for the Wallabies?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? It's like he has. Joe's a really good binder of people. I've got on great with him. I actually got on all right with Eddie and enjoyed
enjoyed our chats and our working with him. We're a little bit different at TARS. We're now Australian rugby, like some of the big unions, New Zealand, Ireland, have a really centralised model where there's even a bit of they have centralised contracting, a bit like the cricket here in Oz, and I wouldn't say farm players out, but they distribute them around a little differently. We're not there yet. We've jumped on board early, a little bit of that strategy, a little bit financial, and I guess RA, Rugby Australia, they're waiting for the Reds and the Brumbies and the Force to do the same, and they've got their own reasons why they haven't yet. So it is heading that way. I'd like to think it's heading that way, but Joe's awesome, mate. As I said, I've just got to know him over the last 3 months. He's a rugby encyclopedia. He's won championships all around the world. He's super well respected. Easy guy to get on with, enjoys a beer and a yarn, and we'll talk footy till the cows come home. So I think he'll do a really good job of galvanising rugby in Australia and getting people pulling on the rope the same direction because, yeah, we're only a small country. We don't have a massive playing base, so we do need to do that.
Chatting with Darren Coleman, the coach of the Waratahs. We are here, ironically, at Allianz Stadium. Now, there's a text here from Danny, and he says, can you ask DC, we all know who Darren Coleman is, but can he share his journey with us? Which, it's a good question, Darren, because there's 8 million people or thereabouts in New South Wales. You're the head coach of the state of rugby league when it comes to, rugby union, rather. What was the journey, Darren?
Mate, she was a zigzagged path. Yeah, it wasn't probably not a traditional one for rugby union. I was a government school boy up at Southwest Rocks, and I didn't even play union actually until I went to college. I was more a leaguey. League was the only thing to do up there on the North Coast. And just got into footy that way. I had a passion through my dad to coach, and went and did a sports science degree, and then just sort of rugby worked out well for me as a player, and well, not to any high level, but I got to see the world in my late 20s and started. Yeah, I remember my first coaching gig was in Canada, Alberta, Canada. And I took on a player coach gig over there when I was 29, and then the rest is history. Funnily enough, I actually worked at the TARS finished up as an assistant coach in 2000 when I was 26, and it was 22 years later they re-employed me back as the head coach. So it was 22 good years in between. Got to live in a bunch of different countries and have a crack at speaking different languages and trying a bit of beer from everywhere, and had a good time. So that was, yeah, not nothing. I'm no wallaby or no superstar player or from a traditional union background or pathway, but that's how I got there, and I'm loving it.
Aidan Tolman from the great Southwest Rocks as well. Ray Martin, it's a frequent holiday spot for him. Great town, Southwest Rocks.
Good jail.
Good jail?
Yeah.
Is there?
That's what they're famous for, Southwest Rocks, the jail. Isn't that right, Darren?
It is. No, we've got an old convict jail there. You could list our luminaries as long as your arm. Wayne Bartram, there was plenty of good people out of Southwest Rocks. It'll good place to call in if you're on your way through the coast. Ripper of a spot.
Beautiful. Beautiful, DC, mate. All the best. We've got some tickets to give away as well for the game, which we can't wait. This beautiful venue, Allianz Stadium. Now, this is the So I'll tell you a funny thing, Missile. I'm coaching this representative touchside, and we've finished all the trials, and, you know, the team's basically been picked. And I'm just walking back to the car, and I run into this bloke. It's Darren Coleman. I'm thinking, what the bloody hell's he doing here? As it turns out, his young bloke is at the trial and has made the side. So the question I'm probably asking is, Darren, is he? I assume he's doing 2 or 3 sandhills a day. Is that what he's doing?
mate, no, he's going good. He's out of school detention most arvos now, so he's got a bit more time to throw the footy around. No, I'm actually just about to jump on the field with him in a minute. Actually, we got his little under 12s footy team training, and I coach his under 12s team, and then we're off to the Chooks and Panthers tonight. So no, he's loving his footy.
Oh, mate, my boys will be here if he wants to come and say good day. But one of my boys has just gone from a school to another school, and the standards, let's just say, have increased dramatically.
Homework and the like.
He's getting demerits because he's at the bus shelter and his socks aren't up and stuff like that.
At the bus shelter?
Mate, they're fully across it. And he said, mate, it's your first term and you've had 5 demerits, and they've all been little insignificant things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, "Yeah, Dad,
a bit like
you're
three driving."
Yeah, that's right. He goes, "Oh, but Dad, I've had 3 merits." I said, "Mate, it's not a for and against system."
It's still in the minus anyway.
Anyway, hey Darren, drop us a note, mate, if you come out here and you feel free to pop up and come and say good day. Enjoy the footy tonight. Good luck tomorrow night, and I'll catch you hopefully in Mudgee, mate, in a few weeks.
Good on you, boys. Have a good one. Appreciate your time.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. And this man, well, he knows Allianz Stadium, Ryan Grant, that is, Sydney FC, but he's also here as a Penrith supporter. Here's Ryan Grant on the line. And we're talking about Sydney FC's Ryan Grant, who's good to go. G'day, Ryan.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Going all right. Are you out here, Ryan, or are you coming to the game?
I am coming to the game, yeah. I'm at home at the moment, getting some food in before I head out. So looking forward to it. Big game.
Yes, mate, you've had some fun. 3 premierships in a row. How did you become a Panthers fan? So did you grow up in the area?
No, I'm from like a small country town out in Canoundra, out near Bathurst. But obviously Penrith is the closest place to where I grew up. So that and my old man was a fan. And also my dad played with Royce Simmons back in the day. So there was a little bit of a connection where I used to be able to get into the sheds and get some signatures off the Panthers boys back when Royce was coach. So, yeah, a few connections there, but, yeah, loved him ever since.
Missile, if you're not from Canoundra, people would see it on the map and they'd say Canawindra. That's what they – is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, it's spelt Canawindra, but if you know your stuff, it's Canoundra with a bit of Canoundra. A twang.
that's right. Hey, boys? Choppy. A bit like War Choppy. Exactly right. War Hope. What do you reckon, boys, crowd tonight? So you're coming out, Ryan. We heard Darren Coleman's coming out, the coach of the Waratahs. The coal miner, Shawnee Omrod, thought there'd be over 30,000. It's surely not over 30, is it?
Chill out for Shawnee. What do you reckon, Ryan? I think max 20. What do you reckon, Ryan?
Yeah, well, I completely forgot it was Easter this weekend. So with the public holiday tomorrow, I think it's going to get a few more people. Yeah, so I reckon there'll be a big crowd. If we can get over, if we can get over 20 to 25, I think it'll be a pretty healthy crowd.
Do you like playing here, Ryan?
What's that?
You like playing at Allianz?
I do, yeah. Obviously, that's our home stadium. I loved it back in the day, and since they've done it up, it's even better now. So, yeah, it feels like home there. We probably don't have the best record there of late before it got rebuilt. We had a great record, but no, it's great to play at. Great stadium, great venue, and state of the art.
After a game, Ryan, obviously it's important to kickstart your recovery and you need to be eating ASAP. Does the catering or the food that you get after each game differ stadium to stadium, or is that on the club to provide its own sort of food options after the game finishes?
Good question. Usually, wherever we play, I think the club that we play against, if it's an away game, they sort of look after the food. So it obviously ranges from back in the day. Sometimes we used to get sushi. Sometimes we just get sandwiches. Sometimes pizza. At our one, we get some family and friends get to come down to the change room, and there's a lot of food there to choose from. So we get looked after, obviously, at Allianz, being our home ground. But yeah, across Australia, so it sort of differs. Don't want to point too many clubs out, but the better clubs obviously get better food. The other ones sometimes go without. So it's up to the club or up to yourself. But I'm never that hungry, to be honest, after. I'd rather a drink, to be honest.
Like a bit of a dig at the Wanderers there. I'll give you a peek behind the curtains. Up here in the comms boxes, the catering's pretty grouse here at Allianz, Joel. Last time I was here, it was the cheeseburger spring rolls.
Oh, yes.
Because now it's Merivale. We've got the Justin Hems on the job. Mm. What do you reckon tonight?
Mate, I wasn't hungry, and now I'm salivating. Absolutely
so
salivating.
So you don't get those in the change room. Nah. Do you get the cheeseburger spring rolls down there for the friends and family?
I think by the time we get in there, they're all taken from all the friends and family, to be honest. So I think not always right. There, but when they are, they get snapped up pretty quick. Mm.
Hey, Ryan, let's talk Sydney FC. So the state of play, 5th position. The benchmark at the moment is Wellington Phoenix. Are they the team to beat, do you think, or who do you see as the major threat?
Yeah, well, I think Wellington sitting on top. Them and Mariners are probably the two big teams at the moment playing some really good football. We just come off a loss against Wellington over there in Auckland. which was disappointing. We were obviously we're up 1-0 and yeah, conceded a couple second half goals, which wasn't great, but just goes to show how good Wellington are at the moment. And yeah, I suppose they're the pinnacle, but again, we play the Mariners on Saturday night at Allianz. So they're another team doing really well and sort of setting the benchmark. So it's another, a good game. I think they've only lost one in their last 14 or 15, and that was against us. So yeah, we're quietly confident we can get another win over them, but it'll be definitely a tough game.
Yeah, they're sitting in second, so that's a massive one there. So looking forward to this big clash on Saturday night, which is going to be outstanding. Who's your favourite Panther, Ryan?
Of all time?
Yeah, of all time, and also in the current squad.
Oh, the current squad, probably Dylan Edwards, just sort of a bit of a nut trucker of note, I think. He sort of gets in there and does that. Yeah. There's a Hello Sport reference.
He's played for Australia now, so he can't be a nut trucker.
He doesn't qualify. Yeah. but all time, it'd have to be Gerds. I grew up loving Ryan Gerds, or even I think he used to wear his drawstring out of his shorts, and I sort of copy that and still do to this day, just purely because I loved him so much. And yeah, he was definitely my favourite growing up, and still got a lot of love for Gerds.
Very good, Ryan. Righto, give us a tip tonight. No Cleary. It's a big, big game, but your record's been good against them. Can you see a way out?
Yeah, no, I think we'll get another win. I think, like you said, the record's really good against them, and I think our record without Cleary the last 10 or so games, we've been pretty good. So I think we'll get another win, and it'll be good to enjoy it in person for once.
Ryan Grant, all the best for your Penny Panthers tonight. We might see you out here tonight as well. Just be warned, Jimmy Smith's out here with the analyst. They're going to be floating around here as well. Just bring your digital ID too, by the way. I think the analyst is pretty keen about that. Good on you, Ryan.
Thanks, fellas. Enjoy it. Cheers, mate. Bye-bye.
The pens, crayons and highlighters out because SEN track analyst Dean Watling is good to go. He's a moustache aficionado and he's looking the goods.
Has he got the mo?
If they've got a mo, let him go. And you can get Dean's tips at deanwatling.com. Last week, 2 from 4. He tipped Osmos. He tipped Brave Mead. He got us the win. He got us in front and he's on the line. G'day, Dean.
Afternoon, fellas. And yes, I do have the mo, actually. It's no Movember, but it's a yearly thing now, I feel like, for our generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
Absolutely.
You should grow one, Joel.
Not my wheelhouse, I don't think, missile.
What
I probably need
your
the beard,
hair?
Though, to cover the jowls. That'd help.
Yeah, okay. What colour is your facial hair? Is it grey? Or still
calm
you like
down. Calm
well,
down.
I'm just asking. My beard goes a bit grey. Look at Brooksy's got some greys.
Yeah, no, I like the clean shave.
The Rubik's as well.
I've tried the hair before. Anyway, let's get on to some tips. Dino, good week last week. Thank you very much for that. The Australian Cup tomorrow, and I think about some of those great icon horses, Maccabi Diva, Northerly, Octagonal, some of the big names who have won this race. How do you see tomorrow playing out? Saturday playing out, for that matter.
Yeah, it's a cracking race, and this year's no exception. It's a little bit like you're on the Bricky's laptop. You've hit red, you've hit black, and this week we're going to hit red. We're going to go back on Mr. Brightside's side. We were Pride of Jenny last time, fellas, but we're up to 2,000 metres this week. So I think that's the big difference, and gate one's a big difference. So I think we can chime in. Mr. Brightside is around $2.250. I think he'll tag the back of Pride of Jenny. If he runs up to what he did in the Cox Plate, I think he'll be winning this race, Shug.
Okay, beautiful. Wow. We like that. Where else are you going? Hey, what was the horse? I was trying to find it because I know you and your Bucks party were heading out to Gosford and I couldn't find the horse you were talking about. Did that end up running?
I'm trying to think what the horse was.
I think you said you don't care what price it is, you're going to back it.
Was it Jamaican Money?
Yeah, Jamaican Money.
Yes, well, that's going to feature soon. We can go there straight now. But it was luckless in that race there at Gosford. But it goes around again on Wyong. Missed the kick. It flashed home. It was a really, really good run. It gets an easier race, and the market's completely missed it. So it goes around on Saturday. Wyong, race 3, number 8. It's one of my better bets of the weekend, Jamaican Money. So I know we loaded up first up, but I think we double down and back it again on Saturday at Wyong, tight turning track.
Beautiful. I love that because I missed it. I just couldn't find it. But I'm pleased to hear all of that. What else you like, Dino?
Yeah, Sydney's tricky enough. It's a bit of the stays week. We've got the Tancred, we've got the Vinery, a couple of short price favourites and a couple of internationals. But one up there, race 6 in the Star Kingdom. I think we can back Cole Crusher around $10. He's got a good record six starts for four wins, rolls to the front, Joe Prize in form. That's it for Sydney. It's a bit tricky. My main bet's come in Melbourne, race four, number four, Amina. I think she's the lock of the day, around $2, a really smart three-year-old filly. Race seven, number 13, Estriella. Down the straight, she was dynamic last start, draws gate 15, and Blakey Shin's on fire. Rode the slipper winner last week. I think he'll be riding her. And then we just mentioned off the top, race eight, number one. I think it's the time we can chime into Mr. Brightside at a good price. Like I mentioned, I think Pride of Jenny can't do the tactics like she did last start over 2,000. I think he'll camp on her back and say see you later at the 200 meters mark. So they're the four. And then obviously Wyong, race three, number eight, Jamaican money. That's the way we're going to play Saturday, boys.
Okay, I've got a few here too for you, Dino, and I'd love your opinion on these. So race seven in Rose Hill, Orchestral. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, Orchestral obviously comes across Derby winner last start. She's a boom filly and J-Max on. I think she'll win, but I think you might get a bit more money on Saturday if you wait.
Okay.
$1.60 at the moment, Joel.
So just to explain to the punters why you say that, Dean. So you do often hear tips to say something like, I think it'll firm, or I think that it'll drift, to, so wait for the price. Why do you land on that conclusion for Orchestral?
Yeah, it's a boom horse and J-Max on. So what the bookies do is they're a little bit scared. They don't know its true price. So they put it up as short as it can be, and then they let the market figure it out. So I don't think anyone will have it marked that short, the big guys. So they should back something else in the race, which then eventually, hopefully, for our sake, will push that price out, because they've got to get some juice out of it. If it's $1.60, they'll struggle to lay it because no one will be backing it. So I think they'll back Zardozzi, and I think the price should get around $1.80 for Orchestral on the weekend.
You win some, you lose more. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
Welcome back to the Best of the Run Home with Joel and Fletch. Plenty of NRL news floating around, including the future of Zach Lomax. Michael Carayannis reporting the Dragons are preparing for Zach Lomax to request for an immediate release. Dragons indicated they would put talks on hold until after round four and have told his management they have no interest to release him despite interest from the Eels. No formal meeting has been set up, but are anticipating Lomax's management will be in touch. Salary cap is not a concern for the Dragons with plenty of space to play with. Two players of interest suggested by Carayannis. Ooh. So two players of interest suggested by Carayannis for the Dragons are storm forward Nelson Asofa Solomona. There seems to be something happening there, Missile.
Yeah, big time.
Coming back through reserve grade. And Eels rookie Blaze Talangi.
Big Nelson, the Bali boxer. Blaze Talangi wouldn't make sense to me. I don't think that's what they need in that team. What about like a I know he's not out of favour, but I don't understand the way the Eels use him because he's a representative player. What about a Ryan Madison for a Zach Lomax?
Okay.
I mean, can't force his way into a starting side at the Eels. Would he be value?
Would you think Arthur would get rid of Madison? I think he loves that forward pack and the rotation, bringing Paolo and Madison off the bench. That's where they've sort of started controlling games when those two come on. I think he really likes that and has probably bought into that role with the Eels.
So who do you want from Para?
Can I just say this, right?
You don't know. You're rattled.
No,
I'd say Blaze. Like that's Blaze, not a bad shot. Played one centre game on debut. He's filling in at 5'8". I think the 5'8" role is something that they need. And if Ben Hunt does go and
so
Kyle has a decent
800,000 a year player for a rookie on minimum.
But they've still got, like what MC said, they've still got cap space. So if they don't use that in this deal, then when they go to market in November 1, they can use some of that money that they've got to go get someone that complements what they've got. If that's saying if Ben Hunt wants to go and ends up going, I think it's a good spot to be in with the cap space. And if they can do a trade and he doesn't want to be there and Flano only really sees him as a winger and he doesn't want to play wing, then yeah, let's let him go. Get someone that can fill probably another position and go to market and fill the winger position, or use one of our juniors that have come through. We let Garrick and Bostock go. We've got some young wingers that are always coming through both St. George and
Illawarra
system.
Where have the Fino boys gone?
Yeah, this Matt is on the extended bench generally. And Max is sort of in the
ether. They wanted to punt one of them, didn't they?
Yeah, they both sort of were told that they were going to be released or look for another club, but they're both still at the club.
Okay, so the predicament that, it's, you know the term dissonance, missile? Dissonance is when you're really torn. That feels like an elastic band being stretched in your chest, like you don't know what to do.
Okay.
I reckon that Coach Flanagan would be going through this. Now, all this talk, so mostly he wants to release, is it because he's playing on the wing, Brooksy? Is that the main reason why? Okay, so if that's the reason,
just kicking stones,
and if you really want to keep Zach Lomax, my question is this, right? The Dragons have conceded 16 tries this year, most of them in the last 2 weeks. 12 of those tries have come through the right side. 12. So one through the middle, three on the other side, 12 have come on the right side. And partly I think that is, Ben Hunt's a wonderful player, Jack Bird's had a great career, premiership winner. But they're older players, and those two older players together right now aren't handling the speed of Avarillo, Hamiso Tabuai-Fadau, Valentine Holmes last week. You know Manly are coming there with Cooler, Turbo this week. It's a problem for them. And so Zach must be saying, mate, it's a freeway down this side, right? And I'm not the free reason why there's a freeway. And I'm still not good enough to play in that right centre position. That's the spot he wants to play, right centre. He loves that sort of flick pass. So if you genuinely want to keep him, you'd almost got to go, okay, Zach, okay, we're going to meet in the middle. It's not working for us what we're doing right now on this right side. You've got the right centre position for a month, okay? If that, because the reality is, yes, Dragons, you may see him as a winger, but it's untenable. He doesn't want to be there, right? Yeah. So whether it's tomorrow, whether it's in a few weeks' time, this issue's not going away. So you kind of have to go, okay, give him what he wants or just let him get out of the building, which, to be honest, it's not really been handled the best by Zach Lomax, in my opinion. I'd be telling my own kids, mate, you signed a contract. Yeah. You play wherever you're supposed to bloody play. One of my kids this week's been moved to a position where they don't want to play. So what? The coach is running the team. At the end of the day, you're hitting the ball up, you're getting tackled. You go and do what the coach wants and don't throw your toys out. I've dealt with the same thing with parents myself. They're trying to, my kids should be here and whatever else. No, just do what they say and contribute in the best fashion. But that aside, Zach's not seemingly going about it that way. So it is untenable. It's a problem, that right-hand side, for the Dragons. And he's still not being considered for that spot. They've got to change something there.
And on the other side of it, Chug, his value is pretty much at his highest over the past few years because he's played so well in the opening three games, albeit it's on the wing.
Yep.
So the Dragons could see this as an opportunity. Like, if we can get Nelson out of pushing this guy onto the wing, and he's played very well for 3 weeks, put up career best numbers in meters, obviously doing a bit of bigger job running the ball. He was great, like in that Dolphins loss, in trying to just take balls out of their own half. Like, other teams are probably saying, you know what, this guy might tip us to be a premiership contender by just giving him that right center spot. Yep. We might just be missing that, and if we're not, let's say the Storm's case, they're going pretty well without Nelson in the 17. If we give up Nelson, and that's not tenable as well, maybe we're doing a good trade here between the two players. The Dragons would be stoked getting Nelson into their forward pack from what they've got there.
Do the Storm need Lomax? Their back line seems
They're pretty set. But this is the other thing, right? So Brian Fletcher invented the saying, sometimes the best gifts come badly wrapped. For Zach Lomax, in all things reality, he's not a representative centre, based on what I've ever seen. He's a good centre, and he's an above-average centre at his best, but he could be an elite winger. He could make representative teams as a winger, but he's pushing against that. Just embrace what you can do on the wing.
Are you both thinking, even Brooksy, like, doesn't like the dirty work, bringing it out of his own end?
Well, he clearly does.
He
does.
But does he not want to do that moving forward?
I think it's a stigma thing. Like, I don't want to be a winger. I've never been a winger.
Really?
He's been a star player. Yeah.
I'm with you, Shug. I think he persists. If he has got a call from Madge already, he's on the radar for potentially making his Origin debut in a position he didn't want to play in. Play some Origin, be the best winger you can be, and help out the team. And then next year, who knows? Play a team, very good teams, competitive teams that want to win a premiership might come after him.
The only
right
club.
Now,
yeah. I don't text know. Line 0457736736. The only club I can think of, a top tier club that needs a centre, is Parramatta. Will Pensini and Zach Lomax is your centre pairing. Oof, nice.
Like it.
Nice. Morgan Harper and Pensini. Not as appealing.
Not as appealing. Anyway, have your say, Dragons fans. But we've heard too much about this, and it's a problem for the Dragons that this keeps popping up. It's like, what was that game you play? And they just think kept popping up. You had to knock
whack-a-mole.
Them down.
Whack-a-mole, yeah.
Whack-a-mole. It's whack-a-mole. It just keeps popping up.
Brooks is popping up. Brooksy's trying to whack him down.